to juggle being a mama, MBA student, and entrepreneur. That's the topic today. Hello and welcome. Thanks for joining me for this 152nd episode of Admission Straight Talk, the podcast dedicated to graduate admissions and helping you approach the application process thoughtfully and successfully. I'm Linda Abraham, the founder of Accepted and the host of this podcast. My mission and passion is to help you get to that delightful instant where you can jump up and down and shout, "Yes, I'm in," and not only in, but in at the best program for you. Mother's Day is this Sunday, and as the mother of 5 adult children and the grandmother of 13 with 1 in escrow, I thought it would be really great to have a mother on the show. In fact, I invited the co-founder of MBA Mama, who is also a first-year student at Wharton, an entrepreneur, and a single mom to join us. And I'm happy to say that she managed to carve out a little bit of time from an absolutely cramped schedule to do exactly that. In addition to being active and involved in an array of activities, our guest, Divinity Matovu, has a fascinating background. Divinity grew up in Wisconsin, attended USC, and got bit by the social impact and startup bug. We'll find out more about how those interests have expressed themselves in just a minute. For now, suffice it to say that her writing has appeared on Forte Foundation's Business 360 blog, Fortune Online, the Wharton Journal, and, of course, the MBA Mama blog. Enough from me. Divinity, welcome to Admission Straight Talk.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here.
Pleasure to have you. Now, you graduated from USC in 2008 with a BA in Political Science and African American Studies. Now you're a member of the class of 2017 at Wharton. What happened in between? Where did you go and what did you do?
In 2008, when I graduated from USC, I actually moved to East Africa. I had had the opportunity to study abroad my senior year at USC in Kenya, and I was just so inspired by everything that I saw when I was there. It was my first time traveling out of the United States, absent a spring break trip to Mexico in undergrad, but I mean, this was my first time crossing an ocean, and it was just life-changing. So I actually decided to ditch my law school plans at the time.
Wow.
And go one way to Uganda. Now, I was in Kenya for study abroad. People always ask, where does Uganda come in? So Uganda is Kenya's neighbor. And my plan, my 18-year-old plan was to go to Uganda. I had a contact there who was running a youth foundation, and I was going to work with that organization. And in the meantime, be looking for jobs in Kenya and then move to Kenya. That actually never happened. I ended up falling in love with Uganda, and shortly after moving there, started my own organization, which was called the Amagezi Gemanyi Youth Association.
And what
ran that for four. Amagezi Gemanyi means knowledge is power.
Okay.
And it was a youth development focused social impact organization. And during that time, I also met my husband. He is no longer my husband, but we met and fell in love. We were very young. And we were co-founders of that nonprofit, and we ran that for about 4 years, and it was just an excellent learning opportunity. In the meantime, I also did some consulting work on the side because I was earning no money from the nonprofit, and kind of got inspired once things started to wind down with that organization to think about business school, because I realized I was running a business. But I was so lost. I mean, our business model was not sustainable. We, you know, I had so much to learn. And so I decided to close that organization because expenses were far exceeding revenue. Mm-hmm. I was pregnant with me and my husband's child, Naya, who is now 4. And so I was 6 months pregnant, decided to close the organization and come back to the United States, took a job with the YMCA. I was 8 months pregnant when I interviewed for that position. So that was very interesting. I spent a year with the YMCA in a management role in their youth development department, and then made my way back to LA, did some additional consulting work with a law firm there that I had had a long relationship with a partner at a law firm in Beverly Hills. And during that time, started to apply to business school. And that was a 2-year journey for me, actually applying to Wharton and some other schools, and then moved to Philly last summer And in the meantime, also started NBA Mama during my application process.
Wow, that's quite a story. So did you, were you a reapplicant to Wharton when you got in?
No, it was my first time applying to every school I applied to.
Oh, all right, great. It just, you just said it was a two-year.
It was a two-year process for me because I really struggled with the GMAT, and I also wanted to wait an additional year until my daughter was a little older. And so I spent a year and a half doing different pre-MBA programs and all that, but I didn't apply until round two of, you know, for the class of 2017.
Got it. Okay. Now, can you tell us, what is MBA Mama?
MBA Mama is an online platform that really wants to empower women, and we are empowering women. So for women who are interested in an MBA, which we strongly believe, you know, has one of the highest ROIs of any graduate degree and is very a very flexible degree, we help these women navigate family planning and career planning. We strongly believe that women do not have to choose between family and career, and we offer tools and resources and are developing products that will help women navigate family and career planning and do so in a way that they can be successful and rock it at home and in the workplace.
Pretty good. I don't think you know, but I actually have 5 children. I'm an MBA pursued a very non-traditional, non-traditional path. Yeah, I have 5 children and 13 grandchildren. So,
ooh, hashtag mama goals.
Right. And a little bit more to your point, I have long felt that the MBA is a fantastic degree for mothers because it does allow you to, you can't have it all, but it does allow you to start a business, run a business, and maybe start slow and grow your business as your children get older, which is basically what I did. And it gives you a tool set that's just incomparable. So we also interviewed, and I don't remember the exact number, but last year before Mother's Day, we interviewed a Harvard grad who started a business specifically placing initially mothers in part-time positions that were built for flexibility. And I don't remember the number. I'll link to it in the show notes, though, for sure. Now, how did you come to start MBA Mama? Where did the idea come from?
I did a couple pre-MBA programs. One was Forte Foundation's MBA Launch Program, and the other was Management Leadership for Tomorrow's pre-MBA MBA Prep Fellowship. Mm-hmm. And in MLT, you know, there were a lot of men in the program. I think they pretty much outnumbered us, which is also true in the B-school classroom at most institutions. Right. And my male colleagues in MLT were just very supportive, and they would always say things like, we don't know how you do it, you know, I can barely take care of myself, those kind of things. And there was a guy in my cohort in SoCal named Derek, and he texted me one day, and he just said, you know, Divinity, I've been feeling pretty bummed out, like the GMAT isn't going well, I feel stuck, and he's like, I just feel so inspired by seeing you continue in this process and continue to fight and be an amazing mom to Naya, a single mom, because by that time, I was actually going through a divorce from my husband, and that just inspired me, and I didn't realize that people were watching. And so I bought the domain name for MBA Mama that day after I got that text message from Derek and started to think about how could I spread this message. And initially, I just wanted it to be a blog. I wasn't thinking about MBA Mama as a business. So I just wanted to blog and kind of share my story because during my process, I didn't really see MBA Moms being visible. I mean, I would be on the road traveling to different diversity weekends and women's weekends, and I would ask, hey, are there any moms that I could talk to? You know, are there any daycare centers on campus? And top administrators at top programs could not answer those questions for me.
Right.
And I was just amazed by that. But when you would see, you know, students with families, it would, all the images typically are male students you know, who may have stay-at-home wives, or even if their wives are working, the focus is really on the male student who goes and gets the MBA, and we don't really see any images of MBA moms. And so I just wanted to create something to increase that visibility, because, you know, when you see it, you can believe it. And things just took off from there. I met my co-founder, Nicole, who's at Duke, and we just decided to make a business out of this. We saw a couple gaps in a few places, and we're working on finalizing our business model and our financial model to start rolling out, you know, some monetization for our business.
Now, you mentioned some products, and are you prepared to share some of those ideas or not yet?
Sure. So we are currently generating revenue through partnerships with a couple of providers in the pre-MBA space. So we're partnered with Target Test Prep for GMAT and GRE stuff. And then we're also partnered with Common Bond for financing. And so we earn referral fees every time an MBA Mama user signs up for those products. Mm-hmm. But the big play we think is going to really make us money is to address a major pain point for our demographic, which is childcare.
Right.
We believe that we have an innovative childcare solution that is really going to change the game. We are developing the product over the summer, mm-hmm. And it's going to be all tech enabled mm-hmm. and kind of taking advantage of the sharing economy, which we're seeing with, you know, major companies like the Ubers and the Airbnbs mm-hmm. of the world. Mm-hmm. We think we can be that for childcare. And so we've been working on developing that. We're also working on a paid coaching platform that would connect senior women with early career women to coach them through career transitions, you know, mock interviews for how do you talk to your boss about, you know, having your first child? You know, how can we help you get research about what policies are in place for maternity leave at your company and at the state and federal level? And so we want to monetize that. Because we believe that the career coaching is something that women want and have asked us for. Also, the pre-MBA coaching, while there are many admissions, you know, coaching out there, there's not really a focus on some of the other needs that MBA moms need. And then also for women who want to be entrepreneurs, we want to develop a coaching platform that will connect successful entrepreneurs with aspiring entrepreneur moms, to kind of help them figure out incorporation and business plans and pitching and all that kind of stuff. So over the next 18 months, we're going to be going to market with both the childcare solution and the coaching platform.
Pretty interesting. Exciting. Now, when you chose to pursue an MBA, you had already started MBA Mama, right? Or did it happen almost simultaneously?
No, we launched April 15th of last year. We'll actually be celebrating our birthday, April 15th.
So you were already accepted. So when you decided to pursue the MBA, what were you hoping to get out of the experience?
For me, I knew that financial management and understanding some of the core quantitative and analytical sides of things was my growth area. And I was very open about that in my application, and try to mitigate that by taking some pre-MBA courses in calculus and statistics. I took no math in undergrad. I avoided it like the plague. And so at the MBA level, I wanted to really strengthen my finance skills. And so that was one thing. Also, I really wanted to work on my emotional intelligence and also on my leadership skills. I wanted to not just lead by authority, which has typically kind of been the situation. You know, if I'm a manager at the YMCA, people are listening to me because I'm their boss. But I want to be a better leader, a better influential leader. I want people to want to work for me and with me and inspire people to, you know, to follow me, not just because they have to. So that was something I also wanted to work on at Wharton, and have gotten some amazing training, executive coaching, and leadership opportunities in student clubs.
And are you finding it?
Slowly but surely.
Okay. Yeah, this is not, and that I think that quest to become a leader based on stature and not station is a lifelong quest. It's not going to end when you graduate.
Even in my household, I mean, I don't want my daughter to just be listening to me because I'm mommy. I want her to, you know, I want her to want to be, make me proud. And so I think it also crosses both domains, work and home.
Okay. I can hear that. Now let's go back to when you applied. What was the hardest part of the application process for you?
The GMAT.
Yeah, you kind of indicated that. Did you take it multiple times?
I took the GMAT 3 times.
Okay.
And it was very difficult to find the time to study because I was running a business. I was running my own consulting practice in Los Angeles. I was a newly single mom. So this is what threw me off. When I first thought about the MBA, I was married. I had, you know, a supportive partner. And when I decided to undertake this, I didn't kind of foresee that my marriage was going to fall apart. And my marriage fell apart during my GMAT battle. And so not only was it, you know, I had been out of school for so long, I'm trying to retrain myself to study and balance all this stuff, but I was newly a single mom. And that was not something I would have expected, you know, on my worst day. And okay. So that was very challenging for me emotionally. It was very challenging financially. It was very challenging to not have that contribution. And, you know, it was just a really tough time. So as much as it was the GMAT, you know, the actual content of the exam, I had a lot going on, and it was hard for me to focus and kind of prioritize studying for that exam.
Yeah, it sounds like that would have been just a really rough time. What about Wharton's interview? It's TBD. Did you find that difficult?
I found it difficult to prepare for it because yeah. It was such a black box, but I did not find it difficult once I was in it. It just went by really quickly, and it came very naturally. I mean, people were trying to posture a little bit, but, I mean, within the first 5 minutes, who you really are is going to come out.
Yeah.
And so once I was in it, it was smooth sailing.
We run mock TBDs, and I sat in on several of them, and it's amazing how revealing they are. It's a very expensive, a very expensive tool for Wharton, but a very revealing one also.
Very.
What was the most memorable or difficult aspect of either the personal interview you had with Wharton, the individual one, or the TBD?
The personal one was difficult because I could not read the interviewer. I couldn't tell if she, I believe at the time, was leading Wharton's Lauder program. I interviewed in San Francisco. I know on campus it's typically a student interviewer, but so I had this administrator who was like stonewalling me. I could not tell if she liked me, if she, you know, it was crazy. And so I left the TBD feeling great, and I left the individual interview thinking, man, that lady clearly did not get any positive vibes off of me. And when I sent, you know, the follow-up email to thank you so much, I really enjoyed the opportunity, I got this one-liner back that was so cold and so standard. And other schools, it was like, oh, Divinity, it was so great to see you, we love what you're doing with me and Mom, you know. And I got none of that from Wharton. It was like, boom, straight to the point, you know, very kind of standoffish. And so I was a little worried, honestly, after the one-on-one, and I was thrilled to get the call. I remember it was March 24th, 2015, and it was just life-changing, you know, for me.
You got the call from an admissions person or a student or?
It was an admissions person. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I remember I was on the way to take Naya to daycare. Yeah. And it was about 7 a.m. California time.
Yeah.
And they called me. I saw this 215 number, and I said, okay, I know that's Philadelphia area code, and I know this is the day. And my heart was beating out of my chest, and I pulled over and just started screaming. And Naya was a little scared, like, Mom, what's happening? But it was a good day.
Yeah, I bet. Now, all right, so now you're in at Wharton. You're a serial entrepreneur, you're a writer, you're a single mom, you throw yourself into the extracurriculars at Wharton, and you're now serving, I heard before the call actually, that you've taken on some new roles, you're the co-president of the portfolio management of the portfolio management at Wharton Impact Investing Partners, and you're also the, or am I getting, and you're the CTO for Wharton Africa Student Association, right?
Co-president of Wharton Impact Investing Partners. Previously, I was doing portfolio management for that same organization.
All right, so I got a little bit off there, but you're the co-president of the Wharton Impact Investing Partners, and you're the CTO of the Wharton Africa Student Association, right?
Correct.
Now I got it. And you're a student, and you're a single mom, and you have MBA mama. How do you do it? In 30 seconds or less. No, that was a joke.
You know, the answer actually is that I don't. I rely on so many different people as a part of my day to get me through. I think this idea that we kind of do it all and balance it all is a fallacy, right? So some days are worse than others, but I have an amazing nanny who I'm able to pay thanks to some additional budget increases that I received and support from Wharton. I have friends that I've made. My classmates pitch in and help me. My classmates are okay with me bringing Naya to some of these key meetings. She sat in on the Africa Student Association meeting. She sat in on the Impact Investing Partner meeting. And I've been blown away by how supportive my classmates have been. And most of them do not have children. And they just really enjoy Naya's energy. She kind of picks up the energy in the room. I've had professors tell me, hey, look, if you need to bring her to class, just let me know in advance. It's fine. You know, and so with the support network that I've gained here, which has been more helpful this semester, because first semester you kind of don't know people. You don't really trust people with your child. Second semester has been much, much better. But I struggled a bit first semester because I moved from coast to coast, and it was really hard. I had to say no to a lot of things that I would have liked to participate in, from happy hours to some recruiting events that I missed, because obviously I had to prioritize Naya.
Right, right. Okay. What are you enjoying most about Wharton so far?
All of the entrepreneurial resources and support, and now the classes. Now that I'm out of the core, I'm taking some awesome entrepreneurship classes. There's a class, Management 806, Formation and Implementation of New Ventures, with Patrick Fitzgerald. He has experience in VC. He is the Director of Innovation at Children's Hospital of Philadelphia. They're doing some very innovative work. And he's my professor. And just today, he brought in the CEO of Saxby's Coffee to talk to us about his journey and his path to build, you know, to challenge an incumbent like Starbucks. And, I mean, those type of classes are just so inspirational. I'm getting to actually get school credit for working on MBA Mama. So my deliverable for that class on the 26th, I have to pitch a real investor who has the potential to write a check that day, you know, for any of the ventures in the class. And this is a VC in Philly who funds Philly startups, 10 affiliated startups. And, like, that's my final. I mean, that is awesome because it incentivizes me to work on my business. I'm getting hands-on, you know, experience. I'm learning about term sheets and deal flow and, you know, what do VCs want to see in your pitch deck versus the actual presentation. I'm getting critical feedback on, you know, which vendor should MBA Mama choose for certain things that we're trying to do. And my classmates, the ones who are serious about entrepreneurship, we really support each other because, you know, in business school, there's so many bankers and consultants and, you know, that's awesome, but we're definitely the minority at Wharton. And so it's encouraging to have other students who are also working on ventures because we kind of, you know, boost each other up. So I'm a part of the entrepreneurship club. I'm a member of the founders club. And those clubs, I mean, hopefully we're all going to be future millionaires and we can, like, laugh. billionaires, and we can laugh about these days of, like, struggling to figure out how to edit a slide for a pitch deck or something.
Yeah, you can laugh about the ramen noodles, right? Are you planning this summer to do an internship, or are you going to focus on MBA Mama?
Both.
Okay.
Both.
Do you have an internship lined up?
I do. I will be working in private wealth management.
Wow, that's fantastic. Okay, yeah. That's very exciting. That's quite a ways from the work you were doing in Uganda, but it'll be a fantastic learning experience.
Yes, absolutely.
Where do you see your career going after you leave Wharton? Are you going to focus on MBA Mama at that point or full-time, or are you going to try and work for a while first, or where do you see it going?
Well, so I don't see MBA Mama being in conflict with a career in finance. Mm-hmm. So I think that it actually boosts my profile, and I really want to be an investor. I want to understand finance. I want to understand how the markets work. And I'm just fascinated by market stuff. I mean, I've never been exposed to this before. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't come from a background where we were talking about portfolios over the kitchen table. I mean, so this is, it's been such a learning experience, and I would like to transition full-time into a finance career. At the same time, though, you know, I want to build MBA Mama, but ultimately the goal is to grind it out as much as we can in the next 2 years and hopefully prime MBA Mama up to be acquired. And we think there are some major players in the childcare space that might be interested in acquiring the brand that we're building.
Okay. Do you see yourself going into more traditional investing and wealth management, or do you still have social impact ambitions? Do you see yourself or doing more social oriented stuff on the side? How do you see that working?
I don't think I've kind of drawn a line in the sand. I'm very open. And I think that, you know, there are firms that are realizing that, you know, people are interested in, especially millennials who may be inheriting money or, you know, may just have different priorities maybe than their parents. You know, they want financial returns, of course, but social impact is key. And I'm very passionate about social impact, particularly women's issues. And so I want to do work that can align with both. And, you know, maybe it's that my day job is, you know, purely financial returns, but I'm still working with a nonprofit that, you know, empowers young people to learn about finance or something. So I definitely always want my foot in the social impact space because that sustains me. I feel like that really gives me purpose. But I also want to be an executive, you know, and I want to move forward on Wall Street. And I see myself having a long career in the finance industry.
Great. Fascinating. What do you wish I would have asked you?
That's a good question. Maybe what's been the biggest challenge?
Okay. What's been the biggest challenge you faced?
So the biggest challenge was that, so last April, actually April 25th, which the anniversary is coming up, my mom actually passed. Oh. And I thought I was going to defer or try to defer from Wharton because mm-hmm. it just came out of nowhere. It was so difficult. And I thought about, like, giving up. I was like, I can't do this. I can't move across the country. This is too much. All of the money that I had kind of been stashing for the move went to pay funeral costs. And I mean, I just felt like someone ripped the rug from right up under me. Mm-hmm. And I really wanted to give up. And it was my family who, and I'm the oldest child, so a lot of the responsibility fell on me. Mm-hmm. And also my sister was key as well, Kamara. But I thought, you know, what am I going to do? And there's a Wharton alum, his name is Jay Womack. He graduated in 07. And he reached out to me and said, you know what, Divinity, your mom, what do you think your mom will want you to do? And I knew that she would not want me to delay this path. And this is what we've been working for, like, since forever. And his support was so key. And I think that, you know, something that people in the Wharton network, they show up for each other. That's been true for me. People pick up the phone, you know, folks that I want to talk to about my business or interview them for MBA Mama. I mean, they pick up the phone. And Jay was so key in that, like, moment of darkness where I thought, man, let me just see if Wharton will let me defer. And I showed up to preterm still kind of reeling from the loss of my mom. because of him. Mm-hmm. And that was a big challenge. And in preterm, it's all this partying and everyone is meeting each other for the first time. And I just wasn't in the mood.
Sure.
I wasn't in the mood for that. Right. And
sure.
So I think I kind of suffered early on because Wharton is very much a party school. We have that reputation. People like to go out. They like to travel. You know, it's a party. Tuesday night, there's a party somewhere in downtown Philadelphia where important people are. And, you know, I just wasn't into it. And I think a lot of my classmates don't actually know this because it's not something I talk about a lot. But, you know, I was not very social. And I think that my networking kind of suffered in the first semester because I didn't participate in a lot of those things. But now this semester, I'm trying to, you know, be more upbeat and stay positive, even, you know, with the 2-week anniversary of my mom's death coming up. Mm-hmm. So I just want to encourage folks that are listening to your podcast, like, look, I went through a divorce. I became a single mom. I lost my mother. And, like, I'm here. And, like, literally, I believe that anything is possible. And it's just, like, grit, determination, hustle. You can accomplish your goals. So that's all I think I would want to say.
That's great. Thank you so much. It's fascinating and it's wonderful advice, wonderful perspective, and I really appreciate you sharing that. We can close on that note, and I'd be fine with it. I think it'd be a great ending. But do you have any last bits of wisdom or advice specifically for women considering combining an MBA with motherhood?
See yourself as a value add to any business school that you would go to. Being a mom is a differentiating factor when we talk about diversity. Gender diversity matters, but not just having a woman in that seat. Having a mom who, you know, has sacrificed for her children, who understands and is a little more mature and has, you know, responsibilities outside of yourself, that is so needed in this space and in the classroom. I mean, we're talking about marketing cases that are, you know, the demographic sure. they're targeting is moms, and there's no mom in the classroom. I mean, it's crazy. You know, we make 85% of consumer buying decisions are moms, right? And so that the fact that this is not a more natural path just baffles me. And that's why I think MBA Mom is so important. So I would just encourage women who are maybe considering having kids. I think business school is a great time if you have the support and you can kind of plan accordingly. It's a great time to have your first child. But also women who are thinking about coming in with a child, it is very possible. And MBA Mama would be happy to talk to you, help you figure out a plan. But, you know, all I think is you need to have the right planning, you need to have strategy, and you need to be tenacious because it is not easy. In general, it's not easy. It's even harder when you have a child. And also, once you get in, speak up, you know. Speak up and, you know, don't kind of raise your hand halfway in class. Own it and be confident and make sure that your voice is heard, because what's the point of getting the seat if, you know, you're not going to speak up and kind of project that confidence. So highly encourage you to consider it. And if you are serious, MBA Mom is happy to help you chart the path.
That's great advice. Thank you. Divinity, thank you so much for taking time from your extraordinarily busy schedule to speak with me and share your experience with Admission Straight Talks listeners. Where can listeners keep up with you and with MBA Mama?
MBAMama.com is live. You can get access to our blog from there. You can see all the women we featured there, MBAMama.com. MBA Mama is also on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. I'm on Twitter at Divinity Matovu, and I have a bunch of musings on there. So I promote NBA Mama stuff. I talk about Beyonce. and so if you really want to kind of get into my mind, follow me on Twitter at Divinity Matovu.
Well, again, thanks for sharing what's in your mind right now. I really, really found it very interesting and very valuable. So thanks again.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Listener, thank you, too, for tuning in to this, our 152nd episode. If you found this show worthwhile, please share the good word with your friends. Admission Straight Talk has been growing nicely, and actually more than nicely, phenomenally, but there's an always room for your friends to join us. And again, I think I forgot to mention, we're going to link from the show notes at accepted.com/152 to mbamama.com, to Divinity's website, and to related resources, including the interview I did, it's over a year ago, with Allison O'Kelly of MomCorps, where, again, she provides flexible job opportunities. Check out accepted.com/152 for any of those resources. This is Admission Straight Talk, produced by Accepted, and I am your host, Linda Abraham. I'll talk to you again next week.
Our theme music is provided by podcastthemes.com.